will be in good shape. It's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. Sorry that Brother Shepherd has to be out, but he had to take care of some business that was necessary. I know you'll be praying for him. In your Bibles this morning, the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, please. Ephesians, chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now we see from that verse, the apostle Paul is the one who's writing this letter. He's writing to the faithful saints at Ephesus. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, you cannot have peace till you experience grace. Alright? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who may or may not bless us with all spiritual blessings. That's not what it says, is it? Who hath, that means past tense, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Always remember, a call to salvation is a call to holiness. A call to justification is a call to sanctification. All right? Notice what it says in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Notice it doesn't say there, have you accepted Jesus Christ? Many times you talk to individuals, well, have you ever accepted Christ? It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says there, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He has to make us acceptable. We can't do it ourselves, so He makes us accepted. All right? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We're not predestinated for our pleasure, for our will, but according to His will. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purpose of purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And we'll finish reading there for the time being. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity once again to speak from the Word of God. And we pray Thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher and instruct us from the truths that are set forth. Be with the pastor, Brother Shepherd, today and bring him home safely. Watch over him, care for him in every way. Thank You for Your love to us and for Your grace. In Your name, Lord Jesus, amen. I want to deal with the subject, very simple. Saved and you know it. Saved and you know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. There's times that we as believers need to check up on our salvation. That's what He's telling us. To examine ourselves. Notice it doesn't say examine someone else. But to examine ourselves. Are you really a Christian? Do you pass the test? There's a simple test that I would give you this morning is this. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you hate sin? Do you love the Word of God? And do you love the church? Do you sense God's presence and power more and more within you? Are you just pretending to be a Christian when you actually are not at all? 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Many Christians have very little assurance about their faith. You ask them, are you saved? They say, well, I hope so. I think so. As far as I know. Now, they have believed in the Lord Jesus, and they have the promise of His Word that they shall be saved. But they're not content with just His Word. They often are looking for some kind of feeling. They look for the ripe fruit when all they see is the blossoms, including the tree is barren. An apple tree is just as much an apple tree in the winter time as it is in the harvest time. When we first moved to Coleman in 1977, we planted an apple tree in the backyard. Now, when we planted it, didn't have anything on it. I was told it was an apple tree. We had one blossom come on it. It produced one apple. I never saw another apple on that tree, but I knew it was an apple tree. You see, I don't know what happened, but we never had another apple off that tree all the 22 years I was there. But it was an apple tree. I know some Christians like that, don't you? You'll see fruit maybe one time, and it's all you ever see. Okay? Now, some Christians, because of the lack of their assurance, they see others who never question their salvation. And others do great things in the Lord's vineyard. And many Christians compare themselves with these and others. And they don't see the same things in their life. So they assume they're not saved. You see, many are looking to the fruit and not the root. See, they look outwardly, not inwardly to the Lord Jesus. So how can we have the assurance of faith, of salvation? Look at verse 13 of chapter 1. In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice first of all, it says you heard the word of truth. Look with me in Romans chapter 10 for just a moment, please. Romans chapter 10. familiar scripture, and I want to begin reading in verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. Notice what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that's the inner man. I'm not talking about that vessel that pumps the blood through our veins. I'm talking about the inner man where our intellect, our emotions, and our will is located. It says, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings as good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're talking about you have heard the Word. Acts chapter 2. I begin reading in verse 37. Now you know the story here. This after the death, burial, resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter was out there preaching on the day, what we call the day of Pentecost. And he says, beginning in verse 36 of Acts 2, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now there's some that will preach that when you get saved, He becomes your Savior, and later on He becomes your Lord. No, no, you cannot make Him Lord. He's already been made Lord. And by the way, nowhere in the Word of God does it say believe on Jesus Christ. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's always the Lord Jesus. Now let's read on. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, conviction came to them within, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, excuse me, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, there's the Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the effectual call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or crooked generation. All right, now while we're in Acts, let's go over to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 29. Acts 8, verse 29. Now here's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man would guide me, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this of himself, or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, the Word of God. The Word of God. And then one other scripture in Acts would be chapter 10 and verse 34. He said there in Ephesians, ye have heard the Word. Acts 10, 34. The 44 says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now here he's talking to Cornelius. Remember, unto the Apostle Peter was given the keys of the gospel. It was he that opened the gospel up unto the Jews. It was he that preached the gospel for the first time unto the Gentiles. All right. Verse 35, But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and he testified that it's he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness at through his name, whosoever believe on him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them, what? Which heard the Word. Now, one is to be saved, they must hear the Word. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us very simply, Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, there's two ways of hearing. All of you have heard me read these scriptures this morning with a natural hearing. You've heard that. And most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, have heard spiritually. They heard with the ear of the inner man. That's why people can go to services and sit there week after week after week after week after week and not be saved. They hear the Word outwardly, but they don't hear the effectual call of God inwardly. It is He who quickens the Word, makes the Word to come alive. Even as Christians, when we're reading the Bible sometimes, We've read it, all of a sudden there's something that comes forth fresh, and we get all excited. It's because God has quickened that Word unto our innermost man, to our spirit. Now, they heard the Word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. Man is a sinner. He is totally depraved. That means, very simply, that he does not have the ability within himself to come before a holy, righteous God. He can be a good moral person. I know some moral people that act better than some who profess to be Christians. And sometimes those kind of people, they see how Christians behave themselves, and it's difficult for them to come to Christ until God quickens the Word in their heart. Now, there's nothing within self to make us acceptable before God. Listen to what Isaiah 64:6 says. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. All of them. The Lord Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. At Calvary, He paid the sin debt of His people. He makes atonement. He made atonement. And atonement is more than atonement. Atonement means God is satisfied. When Israel, every year, would have to bring the sacrifices and make atonement, and that did not clear their sins away, but it covered them. That's what the word means in Hebrew, kephar. It covered their sins for 1 year, and they come back the next year and do it. You see, God was satisfied for 1 year. But when our high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the perfect blood and presented it unto God the Father, it was more than kephar. He did more than cover our sins. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more. And when God looks upon you and I today, He sees us covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are acceptable before a holy God. And our high priest, when he offered that sin, an atonement, God was not only satisfied, but His holy law was satisfied. And our high priest sat down at the right hand of God. Doesn't have to do it again. We're covered by the blood. Praise God for that. Amen. And so the good news of our salvation is that ye have heard the word of truth. Everyone who is saved has heard the word of truth. Now, what was something else that was said there? After that, you believe. Notice what he says. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see, you hear after that you believe. See? God has an order to everything, folks. He is not the author of confusion. When there's confusion, that's satanic. God is a God of order. That's why it's all right to have an order in a worship service. Somebody said, well, we don't have a bulletin to tell us what song we're going to sing or so forth like that. But I found in most churches I've preached in over the years, they have an order whether you have it. They do the same thing all the time. If the Holy Spirit moved in, they wouldn't know what to do sometimes, you know. But like here, now, if the Spirit of God directed to do something differently, but you had an order this morning. There's not confusion. You knew what you were going to do. Well, God has an order. You see, you can't believe until you hear the Word. Why should you believe until you hear the Word? See? You believe what you heard. You take in life. You hear the news on the radio and television, and you believe it or you reject it. How do you know man went to the moon? Did you see him go? I mean, you saw that go out on the TV, out into space, but were you there, dear friend? How do you know? It's what's said. I never have understood. People read the history book and says George Washington's the father of our nation. And that's not even inspired that history. They'll believe that. You tell them that they're depraved and they're a sinner and they're lost and they're going to go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ, and they won't believe what you tell them. And that comes from the inspired, infallible Word of God. I mean, when David heard the news that King Saul was dead, he believed what he was told. When the Lord Jesus got news that Lazarus was sick, and he was sick unto death for the glory of God, he believed. Because how did I know he believed? Because he went to where Mary and Martha were. And he wept there at that grave. When in the beginning of the resurrection time, when the news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus said, "He is not here, for He is risen. Go quickly and tell His disciples." They did what? They departed quickly. And I've been told of people who have gone to the Holy Land, and they go to the place that's supposed to be where Jesus' tomb is. I don't know where that's right or not. But all I do know this is where they visit is an empty tomb. And I know He's not there, because I talked to Him this morning. And I didn't have to go out to the graveyard and talk to a grave. See? We believe what we're told. And the Word says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It does not say, well, all have sinned and because there's hypocrites in the church. Why is it that people will go down to the grocery store and buy groceries and it's full of hypocrites? I always tell them this when they tell me that. I say, well, come on to church. There's always room for another one. And that's true. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, we don't like to hear that word, repent. Don't hear much of it anymore. It's a Bible word. It means turn from your sin unto Christ. The Bible says ye must be born again. It doesn't say, well, it'd be nice if you were. It says ye must be born again. That means born from above, regenerated by the grace of God. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy home. That means you give yourself to Him. You trust in, you cling to, you rely on. You're not trusting your decision. You're not trusting your prayer. But you're trusting the Lord Jesus completely. I didn't see any of you come in this morning and check those chairs to see if they'd hold you up. You sat down on them. Why? Because you believe without question they'll hold you up. Now let's hope one of them doesn't fall apart right now. But you see what I mean? When you turn the light switch on in your house at night, you believe the light's going to come on. You believe you're going to have something to eat today. So we use belief all the time. People say, well, I just can't believe. No, you won't believe. Don't say you can't believe. Some say you just won't believe. You'll believe the lies of the devil, but you won't believe the Word of God. And consequently, you're going to go to hell. I know that's not popular preaching, but hell is still real. It's still hot. So just as I can believe a message that someone gives to me, so I can believe what the Word of God says about the Lord Jesus. He said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Doesn't say come to baptism. Doesn't say come to a decision. Doesn't say come to the Lord's Supper. Doesn't say to do that. It says you come to the Lord Jesus. Now, these other things are good. Don't misunderstand me. They are to be done. But we come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read one other scripture and we'll bring this to a close, all right? First John chapter 5. Now, we're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty here. We're going to plow the cotton close right here. As the old saying is, we're going to jar some grandma's preserves right here. First John chapter 5, and look with me, beginning in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Look at that. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, if I understand that passage of Scripture, if you don't believe it, you're calling God a liar. Now, I remember the days when you called a man a liar, you better be ready to go outside, because that meant Fist City. You didn't call a man a liar. And when you refuse to believe the Word of God and you refuse to cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you refuse to listen to the Word of God, you're calling God a liar. Now that's strong medicine. But that's the way it is. You've heard the Word. After that you heard, ye believe. Faith in Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us fully realize we are a true sinner and convicts us. And the Lord Jesus is the only way of salvation. Faith is the work of the Spirit, you see. Now, going back and closing out, he said there, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit. You see, you hear, you believe, and you're sealed. You have nothing to do with it. It's all by the grace of God. See? Now let me say this. We're not saved nor live by assurance. Assurance follows faith. Some people do not get assurance right away. You may be on your deathbed before you get assurance. You don't go to heaven by assurance. You go to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, you see. So, in whom you believed, trusted, in whom you were sealed, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, if you be in this building this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, keep looking to Him. Cry out for mercy. Ask Him to have mercy on your soul. And don't be satisfied until He gives that mercy to you and saves you by His grace. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's by believing on Him. Father, thank You for the opportunity to share Thy Word today. May it be a blessing and a help to us today. May we walk in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake, because You've said that we that are saved will follow You, Lord Jesus. And may we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.